Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. I'm Mark Clifton. Today we're going to talk about old churches and old people. Well, not just that.
But that is the theme.
That is the theme. But you may be a young person in a young church or a middle-aged person in a middle-aged church or whatever, but you still want to listen to this.
That's
because,
right.
Look, Mark and I deal in church replanting and revitalization, and we talk a lot about dying and declining churches. But I want you to know something. Are you ready? We value those churches.
That's right.
That's why we're in this world.
Amen.
We're not here to shut churches down and kick them aside. You know, every now and then I'll find on Facebook somebody will post something about replanting and they'll say, all they want to do is just kick us out and take over our buildings. Nothing could be further from the truth.
That's right.
We love older churches. Yep. We love older saints.
Yep.
They have so much to offer. And my good friend Jim Eliff recently, he wrote this blog and I love this article. It's called The Old Church. It just describes something that happened to him in recent times. He says, there's no shame in getting old, not for you or for churches. It is a mistake to demean a person just because they're old. It's a double shame to defame a person who perhaps their best days are over, especially if their best days were days when they were of high character and did great things for the Lord and had great Christ-like demeanor, and then to sort of demean them for being old and decrepit and they can't do anything anymore. Not at all. You can be old and beautiful. You can be aged because of Christ and have served him in so many different ways. It's the same thing as a church. He said, recently I spoke into a church. It was a church, an old church, that had been in the same building for decades without change, many decades. They were all older now. Some were very old, but they had wonderful testimonies. They had years and years of faithful service where they had been sincere believers. They had great memories of their church. He said it brought back memories of my church, Bethany Baptist Church in Kansas City. I grew up there as a preacher's kid. In the 1950s, Jim says, that church averaged 150 people crowded into that building with no air conditioning. And he said, we raised the roof singing amen and having all kinds of great gospel events taking place there. But now that church is nearly gone. But it doesn't mean that their history's gone. It doesn't mean we devalue them now because of who they are, but we realize all the great things they did in the past. Churches have history, and we have to celebrate that history. And Mark, one of the things we do when we go to a dying and declining church is we embrace those remaining members, and we celebrate the history, the things God has done there, correct?
Amen.
How do you do that in your replants?
That's exactly right. Boy, there's so many ways. I think, you know, the first place you start, especially if you're replanting or revitalizing pastor, is ask a lot of questions and listen very well. Let people share the stories of what God has done. And ask specific questions. Tell me about an event or a VBS that you remember where God really moved in power. Celebrate what God has done. These memories mean a lot to these folks. And if we come in with an attitude that we're trying to get rid of the past so that we can just move on to the future, boy, we're not shepherding the way God has called us to. We want to build off that past. I think I've shared this before. I remember hearing a denominational guy once. He didn't say it to me, but I was near him, and he was talking to a young guy who wanted to replant a church, and he goes, I don't know why you'd want to deal with all that baggage, you know? I just have never forgotten that. And to think, this is not baggage. These are God's people. This is God's story that he's been writing. And so anyway, so listening well to what has happened in the past, honoring what's happened in the past. You know, I think of the analogy, and maybe I've shared this before, but if you get invited to someone's house for Thanksgiving dinner, you know, it's a privilege to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
And, you know, say your friend's Aunt Margie makes these potatoes every year that everybody loves, you know, it's part of the tradition. Well, guess what? Your job isn't to show up and judge her potatoes.
Right.
You know what? You eat those potatoes and you praise those potatoes.
That's,
man.
Right.
Like, you listen. And I think sometimes we forget. It's like we're coming to a dinner where we have been invited as a guest. And this is a sacred history that we want to learn about and we want to celebrate with those remaining saints who are there, who have lived through so much of this.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I love that story about showing up and eating their food and enjoying it and not criticizing it. It's their story, man. You're walking into their story.
Totally.
What Jim talks about here in visiting this little rural, older church that we would probably say is on its downward spiral, dying and declining. What he says is this, though, and I want you to think about this for a minute. There is a place for such churches and a future for such churches, and there can be vibrancy. Jim says, I even saw it in this one. Even though the congregation was a handful of people, older people in a great big building, and their best days were way behind them, listen to this. The work of God does not stop whenever true Christians meet.
Wow. Yeah.
Can we just marinate on that for a minute?
Yes.
All of us who want to go in there sometimes and just blow things up and criticize these churches and
save the day. That's right.
He's right. The work of God does not stop whenever true Christians gather. He even says, I felt it in the life of these people. And the church was meeting needs and strengthening these saints, and they were trying to reach out. Praise God for a church that's witnessed for well over 100 years. It's not to be despised. A long life is a good thing. Growing old gracefully displays a noble witness to God's enduring efforts. Mm. I mean, I obviously we want to help churches reach their community and not close their doors, but we also want to realize there's something, Mark, called the church essential. Mm. And in a world where we are in such a post-Christian world, we should be grateful for every church essential, every church that gathers around God's word and proclaims his word and gathers for worship, gathers for baptisms and for the Lord's Supper and shares their resources beyond themselves with the world in missions. That's the church essential, right?
Yes.
We should celebrate every church essential.
Absolutely.
We shouldn't want any of them to be gone.
Yeah.
Now we want to help them but we get together with a group of elderly people who you say, well, they've been there for all these years, they're just dying to decline. But they still come together and they make much of Jesus. They worship, they sing, they read their Bible, they share their resources with each other with the world. They are in covenant together to be church in that place. It's the church essential. It's important.
Yeah.
Now, our job, we want to come along and help them make sure they got a future and those kinds of things. But I think the idea that we love these churches and care for them and value them and don't kick them to the side of the road and don't wish they weren't there is not true.
Yeah.
I love what my brother says. You walk in there and just thankful for the history and the heritage of this church.
Yeah, the first thing you should see is that God is at work here. And where is he at work here, right? There's a blackhead before you. Where's he at work that we can join in? Don't just assume, well, I'm coming in to save the day and to show these people how to do church. Listen, you come in humbly and say, Lord, what can you teach me through these people?
Right.
Because you've been at work here a long time and I've got a lot to learn.
And he talks about this. Let's say you've got an older church. You know what? There can be a place for reaching older people. Now, it's unfortunate that Dan Hurst is not with us today, because this is one of Dan's...
this is his thing,
this
man.
This is one of his things he's on all
very
the time.
Very gifted, yes.
He believes strongly that the fastest growing population group in our nation are aging baby boomers, and they are perhaps more open to the gospel now than at any time in their life, right? And so we can't, just because somebody has gray hair and they're retired, we don't look at them as, well, we can't build a church on them, and we look past them and look beyond them. They're a great mission field for us.
Right.
And what Eliph is saying, some of these older dying churches, we could help them really turn and focus on the older community in their neighborhood and reach some of those older folks. If you had a church of 20-somethings, you'd say, hey, go reach the young people. Well, you got a church of older people.
Yes.
Rather than to guilt them into trying to find a bunch of young people that they can't really find right now. Help them find some lost older people.
Right.
They're still lost.
That's exactly
right. And why not do that? So that's the first thing he says.
Yeah, that's good.
In that regard. Secondly, he says older churches full of older people are often places where they love fellowship. They really enjoy each other.
Yeah.
Well, lean into that.
Lean into it.
Find ways to encourage the fellowship they have. Encourage more meals together. Encourage more time sharing together. And then reach out to some of these older people in these communities who's maybe are widows or widowers or going through physical problems or having some dementia or their spouses are having dementia, and invite them into those fellowship groups. Let the sweetness of those little, sometimes we say, well, they're little closed groups of old people who just like hanging together. Yeah, they do.
Yep.
But they could hang together and bring some other people with them from the community.
Yeah.
And really find a way to engage some folks.
Well, I think that's so good. And part of it is you just from a sociological perspective, the older you get, here's just how it is, the more of your friends pass away.
Right.
And so, if you're young, you might think, well, man, I got all these friends. Listen, by the time you hit 70, 75, 80, 85, the reason sometimes your friends become, you become even closer with this group of people is because you've lost so many of them. And quite frankly, as you're getting nearer to meet Jesus, and this is not something to be mocked. This is something to be celebrated and, like you said, leaned into. There's so much we can learn. I often think about this, about the fellowship that older saints have one another that younger people can learn from.
Yeah. Again, if you're listening to us and you're pastoring an older church, I'm not suggesting you don't try to reach young people and grow up. But I am suggesting, as my brother Jim Eliff says, don't ignore what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some older saints who have a great history of loving the Lord. Help them reach some of their peers.
Yeah.
Those older saints. You've got some older saints, as Mark said, who have a great ability to have sweet and wonderful fellowship. I love what Eliff says about these older people. This is a great line. In so many years of travel, I've noticed a consistent pattern. Older people tend to be the most gracious.
Hmm.
They want to cook food for you. They want you to stay in their home. They want to share their life with you. They want to give you a quilt or a handmade something or other. They're very gracious. Man, don't ignore that.
That's right.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
Find ways to use that, not only with their peers, but even with younger people. When I was at Warnell and we had some older folks left over, from the original church, we started reaching some younger people. As we said, we started some of these older ladies teaching them how to bake. Or you mentioned some here about how they teach them how to quilt.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I had some older men that taught some guys how to fish and how to make lures.
I love that.
And so use their graciousness and those skills late in life that they have to do that. Mm. Absolutely. And then also, older people have time on their hands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To do ministry.
They're available.
They're available.
Yeah.
And find ways to leverage their time and get them to learn how to serve their community. And they want to do that.
Yeah.
And if Dan were here, we'll have to do this when he's back. But give them some on-ramps on how they can pray for people, how they can serve people. And I guess what we're trying to say on this brief podcast is, if you pastor a church of older people, an older dying church, realize there's still value there. The Lord still is working there. There's still some hope potential there. And be grateful for any church essential. Before we start moving to say we're going to do something else or we're going to bring somebody else in, let's be grateful for what's there.
Amen.
And work with what's there before we move on to something else. All right?
Well, hope you've
enjoyed this. Check us out at churchreplanters.com and please subscribe. And let us know what you think about this podcast. And if you pastor an older church, we'd like to hear from you. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.